time you get the mask off and the glasses on. We do bid you all a very warm welcome this morning to our morning worship. And I trust that the Lord will bless you, each and every one, as you've joined with us, whether you're in our church building this morning, and particularly if we have any visitors with us, can we give you a special welcome? And also those who are joining online, we welcome them to our service today. Also like to extend that welcome to our preacher for today, Brother Mr. Stephen Crawford. Stephen's a final year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. He's from Armacrofelt Free Presbyterian Church, and we do welcome him this morning. Trust the Lord will richly bless him as he comes along and brings the Word of God to us at the services today. We just ask you to continue, as you've been doing, to observe the health guidance while in the church building. Masks should be worn where possible, but please note that they can be removed when seated during the sermon, so you get a wee opportunity to get them off and get to breathing again properly. You'll find baskets for your offerings at the doors as you leave the service this morning. 7 p.m. Will be the last of our drive-in gospel services. The gates will open at 6:30, and then there will be community singing at 10 to 7. So we do encourage you to come along to the meeting this evening. The preacher again will be our brother, Mr. Crawford, and the soloist will be Mrs. Vivian McCoy. So please do come and invite others to join with us in the service this evening. We'd like to thank all those who have attended the drive-in services, to those that have helped with the setting up of the equipment, etc., each week, and to all who have participated in the services. And can we give a sincere word of thanks to our brother, Mr. Ken Reid, for providing the platform again for us this year. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. from 8 through to 9 will be our Bible study and prayer meeting, and we encourage you to come along to that again. And on Tuesday evening, our brother Mr. Crawford will be back with us. As if he hasn't had enough of us today, he'll be back with us on Tuesday evening to lead in that season of prayer and bring the Word of God to us. Next Lord's Day, the morning service is at 11:30 a.m. And it will be followed by the communion service for all those who know and love the Saviour. Please remember, as we have been doing in recent months, to bring your own bread and wine. And if you do require cups, they're available in the main foyer this morning as you leave the service. And again, they'll be available on Tuesday evening. So please do remember to pick that up on the way. Next Lord's Day evening, the gospel service is at 7 p.m., preceded by a half hour of prayer, and that will be at 6:20 up in the youth room. And the preacher at both services next Lord's Day will be our brother, the Reverend Trevor Baxter. We just ask you to, at this stage, remember the bereaved and the sick of the congregation. Our brother, Mr. Robbie Catterson, wishes to express his sincere appreciation for all the messages of sympathy and the cards received since his brother Gilmore's death. Robbie, I know, has been touched by the kindness of the people in the congregation, and I'd like to thank you for it. I'd ask you this morning as well also to remember the Patton family. They've been called to the bedside of Mr. Patton Sr., that's David's father. Please remember David and the whole family at this time, that the Lord's hand will be upon them and that he will be an encouragement to them. And then also some special prayer has been requested by the family of our sister, Aaron McBurney, especially for the guidance of the consultants over the next few weeks as they would assess and make decisions regarding surgery and treatment required for our sister, Aaron. So please do remember Aaron and the family circle at this time in prayer. We'd also ask you to remember our sister, Mary McFadden, as she would commence another series of treatments this week. So again, I ask you to continue in prayer for these people. Mrs. Gilmore has been in hospital again. I'm not sure if she's still in or she's out, but we'd ask you just to remember our sister Isabel at this time also. And then our brother Carl Stripp has been moved into a new home, and we'd ask you to remember Carl and Maureen at this time, and especially that Carl will settle in the new home. I trust that he'll settle down there and enjoy that time there. And then also, could we just ask you to continue to remember in prayer Brother Raymond Kerr. Raymond's still recovering from his recent operation. It's a slow process, but we ask you to continue to remember Raymond and all these folks that we've mentioned, and perhaps others that we've overlooked to mention. Could we ask you to remember them all in prayer at this time? Then finally, during the Reverend Smiley's holiday period, the Reverend Nathan McVeigh is covering any emergencies. And if you have any requirement for a minister for emergencies at this time, just contact one of the elders and they'll be able to put you in touch with Mr. McVeigh. We'd like to, at this stage, hand the meeting over to our brother, Mr. Crawford. We do again welcome him to the pulpit, and we trust that the Lord's hand will be upon him and upon us as we meet around the Word of God today. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to bid you all a very warm welcome to the house of the Lord this morning, and to thank our brother for the very kind words of welcome, and your minister for the opportunity to be along today and to bring the Word of God. We're going to commence our service this morning by singing of the 32nd Psalm. And remain seated while we sing the first five verses of this Psalm 32, please.
Thank you.
Amen. Let us seek the face of God in prayer. We'll stand and change your positions, please. If you're able to stand, please join with us in prayer by standing. If you can't, just remain seated and let us seek the face of the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we just, O God, want to thank you for this privilege that we have again, O God, to bow in thy holy and most sacred presence. We thank you, O God, for this, the return of the Lord's Day, and the privileges and the benefits and blessings which it affords to us as the people of God to meet in thy name, O God, around thy word. And Lord, we thank you that we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We thank you, O God, that he is our Saviour and he is our Redeemer. He is our Master and he is our Friend and he is our Lord. He is our great High Priest and he is our Mediator between God and man. We thank you, O Lord, for him who loved us and gave himself for us on the centre cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. We thank you, O Lord, that he came into this world to live that life of sinless perfection. We thank you, O God, that he died that atoning death as our substitute at the cross. We thank you, O God, that he bore the wrath of Almighty God for the sins of his people upon the tree. And we thank you, O Lord, that he finished the work, for he cried from the cross, "It is finished, paid in full." We thank you, O Lord, that our debt of sin was paid in full. And Lord, we thank you that Christ died according to the scriptures and that he was buried. But Lord, we thank you that on the third day he arose from the dead, triumphing over the devil and over all the forces of darkness. And we thank you, O God, that he came out of that tomb, O God. And Lord, he led, as it were, captivity captive. And Lord, we thank you that he is alive forevermore, never to offer up himself again, never to die again for the sins of his people. We thank you that his sacrifice was sufficient for once and for all of our sins. And we thank you that his blood can cleanse us from all of our sins, the sins of the past, the present, and the future. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God today. And Lord, we want to pray for every head bowed in thy presence. We thank you for the boys and girls in our midst today. We do pray you'd bless them. We do pray for the parents and, Lord, for the older members of the congregation here. Lord, we just pray thy blessing upon every one of them. We do pray, O God, you would speak to every one of our hearts through thy word this morning. And that, Lord, you would do us good. And that, Lord, we would know a real sense of thy presence here in the house of God today. We pray for those who cannot be here, perhaps due to illness or infirmity. We do commit every one of them to thee. We do pray for those as well that mourn at this time. And all those names that were already mentioned this morning, O God, at the start of our meeting, we do commit every one of them lovingly and tenderly to thee. And Lord, every one of them would know a special measure of thy grace in these difficult days in which they are going through, that they would know the comfort and the presence of the Lord to be their portion as well. Lord, we want to pray for thy servant and his wife at this time who are off on holiday. We do pray for them that you would bless them at this time of holiday and bless them as they would seek to rest and recuperate and, as it were, recharge their batteries for the work here. Lord, we do pray thy blessing upon them and that, Lord, they would come back in the fullness of the Spirit, Lord, ready for the challenges of the work again in September, and I will do pray for the needs of our land at this time as well. And Lord, we do pray for the removal of this virus, and we do pray, O God, for the continued easing of restrictions. But Lord, we do pray for men and women to be concerned about their soul. We do pray for the Spirit of God to convict of sin and of judgment and of judgment to come and of righteousness. Lord, we do pray that people will be more concerned about their soul and, Lord, seeking to get their soul, the matters of their soul sorted, Lord, rather than being concerned about a virus. And Lord, we do pray that you would take away the fear of these things from the hearts of thy people, O God. Help us, Lord, not to live in fear. For, Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but, Lord, of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we do ask and pray you would drive back the plans and the schemes of wicked and evil men and women. We do pray, O God, for the raising of the gospel standard once again O Lord, give us as thy people a backbone to stand for thee. Lord, give us boldness, I pray, to stand for thee. And Lord, not to be ashamed, as Paul the Apostle of old said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the Saviour in these days. And Lord, we do pray that you would draw every one of us closer unto thyself. And Lord, may we have that greater love and greater desire for the Saviour and to live for him in these days. Lord, bless us as we meet in thy name and around thy word in a few moments' time. And Lord, may everything go down to the glory and honour of our lovely Saviour's precious and worthy name. And it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah, and we're turning to chapter number 48, please. Isaiah 48, and I would like to read the first 11 verses, please, in this chapter of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 48, and let us commence reading at verse number 1. This is the Word of God. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou dost not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Amen. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word to our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and glory. Amen. Let us sing again, and we're going to turn to a hymn this time. Hymn 195, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, full in songs of endless praise. Thank you. let us bow again in a moment's prayer before we come to the Word of God this morning. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we set ourselves before Thee in Thy presence, and we thank You for the reading of Thy precious Word. And we do ask and pray now that, Lord, You would take away every distracting thought from our minds, which, Lord, is not convenient for this season. And we do pray that, Lord, You would be pleased to close us in now with Thyself, to not only take away every distracting thought, but, Lord, give us clarity of mind, give us a teachable spirit. Lord, may our hearts be fixed and focused upon listening to Thy Word. And that, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would come and give help to preacher and to hearer alike, to, Lord, apply Thy Word, that we would be not only hearers, but doers of Thy Word. Lord, empty me of self and of sin, I humbly pray, and fill me with the Holy Spirit to give me help and to give me the unction and the authority and clarity that I need to bring the Word of God to this people here today. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. I wonder if I was to ask you what the following number of items have in common. I'll list them here for you. Metals, petroleum, silicon, sugar, flour, table salt, and air. Well, all of these things have in common is that they all need to be refined. They all need to go through a process of refining to make them of better use to humanity. And the same is also true of us as Christians here today. For we are not the finished article as believers. Yes, we are saved by grace. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And we are sanctified daily by the Holy Spirit. But until we reach glory, we will not have reached perfection until we reach glory. And that is why we are to continue to strive to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk according to the course and the path that He would have for us to go on. Now, as I said, we have not reached perfection, and sadly, so many people in the world today think that they have reached perfection, but yet we know that that is not scripturally true. For we know when we look at our own hearts day by day that we see so much which causes us to mourn, causes us to grieve. When we see the sinfulness, when we see the coldness, and even at times the lack of faith. But I want to encourage you here this morning. I want to encourage you from the Word of God, as the Lord has laid this message, given me this message. And I want us to think this morning about God's refinery. God's refinery. And the title of my message this morning is simply The Furnace of Affliction. But in Isaiah chapter 48 this morning, we see that the Lord has to, and He did rebuke Israel for their refusal to trust in Him. But yet in this chapter, not only is there the rebuke that the Lord gives to this people, but there is His promise of mercy to deliver them. You see, the people here had to be worked upon. They had to be refined by the Lord. And just as you and I this morning as Christians, we have to continually be worked upon by the Lord. Like the potter, he takes the clay and he continues to shape and mould in that mould, whatever he's working at on his wheel, taking that clay and applying the water to shape and mould in the object into what he wants it to be or she wants it to be. Just as the Lord will take us as His people and continue to shape and mould in us through the different circumstances and difficulties and blessings which we have to endure and are blessed with in our lives. So for the remainder of the meeting this morning, I want to consider God's refinery. And the first thought I'd like to draw to your attention is the people to be refined. The people to be refined. Now, if you turn with me back to Isaiah 48, or look with me there to verse number 10. And Isaiah says here, or he has recorded here, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now, if we go back to verse 1 there, we see there that Isaiah is writing here to the people called or referred to as the house of Jacob. He says here, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel." Now, the people in view here are Judean exiles who were residing in Babylon at that time. Now, you will remember, I'm sure, that Nebuchadnezzar came into the land and took people captive. He took away Zedekiah the king and slaughtered his sons and put Zedekiah's eyes out and took him back with him to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was a very cruel and wicked and prideful man as the king of Babylon at that time. And that was approximately 605 BC. So that was a long time ago. Now these exiles, we are told, that they swore by the name of the Lord Jehovah and they praised the God of Israel. But we notice here that this was not in truth nor in righteousness. If you look with me at the end of verse number 1, and it says, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. You see, it wasn't sincere or serious worship these people were giving unto God. It was mere lip service, as it were, simply giving a little assent unto the Lord. And how many people in churches right across Northern Ireland are doing that today? Oh yes, they've come to church in their very best. And they've come perhaps in the best clothes that they have come in. But yet their heart is far from God. Their heart is so far from God. And all they're doing is simply paying lip service unto the Lord. And yet their hearts were so far from the Lord. Well, this is what this people was like in Isaiah 48. Oh yes, they had that association with the people of God. They had that association with the true God. But yet their heart was far from God. Is that you this morning? You've come to the house of God and you're all looking very well this morning. Well turned out. But is that the description of your heart? Are you like this people here, worshipping the Lord but not in truth, nor in righteousness? You see that word there, it says there in verse 4 that the Lord knew that this people, they were obstinate. In other words, they were a stubborn people. They were obstinate, they were stubborn, and the Lord knew their hearts. The Lord could see right into their heart and knew that they were a stubborn people. And there is other words there which describe the stubbornness. It says there in verse 4, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow a brass. Here, Isaiah was hitting the nail on their head. Here, this people were stubborn. And that's why they were not worshipping the Lord aright. And stubbornness is something which we as believers here this morning are not immune from. We need to learn to grow in grace and to learn from these lessons to become more mature believers and Christians here today. God knows our hearts better than we know them ourselves. And God knew the hearts of this people. And he's seen that they were not worshipping them. He was not being worshipped by them from a genuine desire from their heart. You see, they depended upon him for the temporal things. But they did not have a deep reverence for him, nor did they have any confidence in him. Oh yes, they depended upon him, but it was only just for the temporal things to be met. The Bible commentator John Gill said of this verse, he said, or these people, he said that these had only the name, not the thing. However, not as yet, they were neither praying Jacob's nor praying Israel's. So in other words, John Gill, the commentator, is saying here, oh yes, they had the name of being associated with the people of God. They had that association with the true God. But yet, they were neither praying Jacob's. In other words, they were not known for their genuine praying. Nor were they known for their prevailing in prayer or their genuinely seeking of the Lord. Notice there in verse 5, he describes these people as nothing less than idolaters. It says there that they were idolaters. They were worshipping other gods. It says there, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. See, this was a people that was plagued by idolatry. This was a people that sadly, time after time, had given themselves over to the false gods of their pagan neighbours. And sadly, look out in Northern Ireland today, how pagan Protestant people have become. How godless our society has become. And yet our province has known much of the blessing of the Lord in past days. But sadly, they are not assenting to the truth of God. They are rejecting the truth of God. They are rejecting the worship of the true God. all in order to satisfy their own fleshly desires, all in the desire to appease the new opinions and pleasure crazes of this world. You know, Ezekiel, we're told in Ezekiel chapter 20 and the verse 30, if you want to turn with me there, please, just turn over a few books to Ezekiel chapter 20. And in Ezekiel chapter 20, we'll read the verse 30. And it says, "Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations?" You see, the Lord was challenging the people here under Ezekiel, his prophet, about them going after the sins that their fathers had engaged in, going after the false gods which their fathers had pursued after and worshipped. And notice there the strong language which the Holy Ghost uses, that they were polluted after the manner of their fathers, and they were committing such wicked acts which the Lord describes as abominations. And that's what we see in Northern Ireland today, the promotion of abominable things and sins. And yet we as the people of God and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be standing, we ought to be raising a voice in opposition to these things. For they are totally contrary to the Word of God. They are totally contrary to God's nature and to His person. And yet we must in love speak the truth, even though that will bring us reproach, even though that will bring us the rebuke and the rejection of society. Well, what odds? Because God has called you and me this morning to be a people who live for Him as believers. I'm not here to represent myself, as it were. I'm simply here as a representative, as an ambassador, as a follower of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's Him whom I want you to see. That's Him who I want you to be focused upon this morning. Because as we are told in the Scriptures, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And when we have that view of the Savior, well, then we will be worshipping. We will be seeking to worship Him aright. You see, these people had not a proper view of God. And that's why it's so important that we have a true and a proper view of God this morning. You see, this people, as we noted, this was a people that needed to be refined. This was a people whom the Lord had to continue to work upon, because their hearts were so far from Him. And that even here, they were seeking to give honour and glory to these idols which they were worshipping. And yet, anything which we have seen done in the name of the Lord, it's because the Lord has been pleased to bless. Any soul that has been saved, any work of God that has been established and is going on today, is not because of men, but it is because of the Lord and His grace and His mercy. You see, He speaks here, Isaiah speaks here, of former things. In verse number 3, he says, "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass." You see, the Lord was speaking here of these former things, and perhaps you're asking, well, what were these former things that He's speaking of? Well, these former things were those things which God had revealed unto His people, which had already come to pass. For example, the preparation for Israel's redemption, or their salvation, their deliverance from Babylonian captivity under King Cyrus. Now, you will know that King Cyrus was not a follower of the Lord, but yet the Lord refers to Cyrus as His servant, because the Lord in His providence and in His sovereignty used this godless man to deliver His people out of the bondage which they were in under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And see, Israel, or Isaiah, had declared these things unto the people, but yet they were seeking to give the glory unto their idols for what had been accomplished. And sadly, how many are seeking to remove God out of the picture, seeking to give glory unto other things and people rather than the Lord. You see, the Lord said in verse number 11, He said, "I will not give my glory unto another." And that is why we must be very careful as believers that anything that is achieved in the name of the Lord, we give Him the glory. And that is why we will singing our closing hymn, "To God be the glory." Because whatever has been accomplished in our own lives spiritually, whatever has been accomplished in the life of this church and its testimony, it's all because of the Lord and of His grace. And when we think of this people here, it's very easy to look at this people and say, well, they were certainly in need of refining. Their hearts were far from God and they were giving glory unto idols. They certainly needed to be refined. But brothers and sisters, let us search our own hearts this morning. Let us bring the lamp of the Scriptures closer to home today, to our own hearts, and ask the Lord to search our hearts this morning and see if there's anything in our lives which is not right, anything which would hinder or mar the blessing, and that we would confess any sins, that they would be placed under the blood and cleansed, so that there would be nothing in our lives to hinder or mar the blessing of our Lord, of the Lord in these days. You see, God knew them. If you look there with me at verse number 7, He says, "Behold, I knew them." You see, nothing's hidden from God. And how many people think that they can hide from God and that God will not see whatever it is you're engaging in, whether in your mind or in a secret place. God sees it all. And He knew, as verse 8 tells us, that they were a transgressor from the womb. That's the truth about every one of us. As the psalmist said in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Behold, in sin did my mother conceive me." And yet we are nothing, as it were, but wounds and putrefying sores and bruises. Because we have been born in sin. We have been born totally removed from God. Our sins separating between us and between God. And yet God speaks of them honestly here, saying that He knew them. And that they were nothing more than a transgressor. They had broken His law. They had fallen short of His standard. And that's what it means to be a sinner, to miss the mark. And that's what we were when we were born into this world, sinners by birth and by practice. But thank God for the day in our lives, dear Christian, when the Lord saved us by His grace, when He redeemed us to Himself by His precious blood, and He brought us unto Himself. He adopted us into His family. And we are children of God today. And may we ask the Lord to search our hearts. And may we be willing to say, "Lord, if I need to be refined this morning, well, Lord, refine me. If there be anything in my life which would hinder or mar the blessing, if there's anything which is not pleasing in Your sight, O God, well, Lord, please come and cleanse me. I repent afresh. Come and fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Help me to live for You, O God." We've thought about the people in need of refining in the first place. But secondly, I want us to consider the place of refinement. The place of refinement. If you look with me at verse 10, He says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now, as I was thinking of the metal worker and how he or she would take of the perhaps gold or the silver, and they will heat it up and use a furnace to not only heat it up but also to reshape it into whatever, whether it's a piece of jewellery or a piece of cutlery or whatever it is that they're seeking to reshape. They would place this metal in a fiery furnace to heat it up to a great temperature so that they would be able to reshape it. I found an interesting illustration where a silversmith, when he or she takes that silver and places it in the fire to burn off all the dross, and so he or she is able to reshape it into whatever he or she wants it to be. And the question was asked of that silversmith, "Well, how do you know that you haven't had the silver in too long to burn it up completely?" And the answer that the silversmith gave was very interesting. "For they said, when I am able to see my face in it, then I know that it is properly refined." And you know, as Christians here this morning, we ought to be refined, that we would shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would be seen in our lives. You know, the psalmist talks about in Psalm 17 in the verse 8, if you just turn with me there so I get the quotation right, Psalm 17 and the verse number 8. Just came to my mind there. Psalm 17 and verse 8. Yes, it says there, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me not under the shadow of thy wings." Now, we know that when we look into someone else's eyes, someone we love, that we can see them in their eyes. And you know, as Christians, yes, we want the Lord to be looking upon us, but we want to be that reflection of His glory. We want people to see Him reflected in our lives. And just as the Lord looks upon His people in love, so that people, when they look upon us, that they would see not someone who's good living or someone who's religious, but someone who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, our minds and all of our beings. That they would see that here is someone that we need in our lives. That these, whether they are unsaved or people, perhaps a Christian who's not walking as close with the Lord as they could be, that they would see there's someone who knows the Lord. There's someone who loves the Lord, and I want to be like that. I want to have such a presence and a reality of Christ in my life. And as Christians this morning, that's what we ought to have. That's what we ought to strive after and seek after. But we're thinking here about the place of refinement. You know, the Christian, just as the metal has to go through a very hot furnace, you know, at times as Christians, we will have to go through, as it were, the furnace. We will have to go through deep waters or trials or difficulties. You see, the word here, furnace, it signifies a place where extreme heat is applied to a metal. For example, a melting pot or a furnace. And that word furnace, it is used 9 times in the Old Testament. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy for a second. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And the verse number 20 I'd like to read. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20. And it says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto Him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day." And there Moses was writing to the people of God, reminding them that how the Lord had brought His people out of Egypt, and how the people of God suffered a great lot under Pharaoh in Egypt. And as it were, they were going through, as it were, an iron furnace. But yet the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. The Lord delivered them out of that bondage. And they became a people of inheritance. Yes, they inherited the promised land. Because the Lord, in His goodness and His grace to His people, promised them that. And He fulfilled His promise to them. But in Ezekiel, again, if you turn over to Ezekiel 22, please. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, and the verse number 22, Ezekiel here is speaking of the silversmith. And if you look with me to Ezekiel 22 and verse 22, it says there, "As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you." And there Ezekiel was writing to Israel, warning them that they were having to go through the furnace because of their sins. And you know, at times, brothers and sisters, we will be chastised. We will be reproved by the Lord for our sins. But that chastisement, that reproving, is not for our destruction, but it is for our good and ultimately the glory of God, so that we would see the error of our ways, and that we would seek to be walking closer with the Lord in closer communion and fellowship with Him. You see, God does this as our loving Heavenly Father, not to destroy us, but to build us up, to make us more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure many of us can testify this morning that we have been drawn closer to the Lord through those times of difficulty, through those trials which we've had to bear. But yet it's in those moments where we can experience a special measure of the Lord's grace. As the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And you see, God, as our loving Heavenly Father, He permits us to face these trials and difficulties, not for our destruction, but for His glory, and ultimately for our good. So when you think of the furnace and how that extreme heat is applied to whatever metal or even a piece of pottery which goes through the furnace to strengthen it and protect it and do it good, so at times our trials may seem that way for us. We cannot see the big picture. We cannot see the end from the beginning, but God knows the end from the beginning. God knows why He has permitted that trial which you're going through at this time, dear child of God. God knows the reason why your heart perhaps is aching this morning. God knows the reason why you're going through that period of illness, to draw you closer to Himself, to wean you off self-dependence and self-reliance, and to get you to be more dependent and more trusting of Him. And it's in those moments where we really experience His presence, which is the feast, isn't it? When we experience His presence in a real and tangible way, how it does our hearts good. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for I know your presence. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through this trial or difficulty. You see, the Lord had permitted it for a reason. The Lord had permitted His people to go through the furnace, all of the purpose and the aim of getting them less sinful and getting them more spiritual. You see, this people were a chosen people. And that speaks of to be properly tried, or to be elected, or to be selected. You see, this people, they were chosen by Him for this. And you know, dear child of God, we have been chosen in Christ from before the very foundation of the world. If you're a Christian this morning, God has chosen you, and He has saved you by His grace. But perhaps you're in the meeting this morning and you're not a Christian. Well, you ought not to be asking, well, I don't know if I'm a chosen person of God or not. But if you're in the meeting today and you're not a Christian, well, you ought to be saved today. For you're a sinner, and God commands all men and women and young people to repent and to believe the gospel. And let me urge upon you, if you're not a Christian, to come to Christ this morning, to turn away from your sin, to repent of your sin, and to trust in Him. See, this was a chosen people. And God did not afflict His people in a furious or an enraged manner, but it was done in a gentle and gradual manner. If I may quote John Gill again, he said, not in strict justice, but in such gentle means, He refines and brightens the graces of His people, tries and proves their principles and profession, and reforms their manners. I know at times there's some of us, and even in my own life at times, our manners need to be reformed, don't they? And our graces, they need to be brightened, and they need to be He needs to prove our principles. Sadly, it seems many of God's people today are losing their convictions, losing their principles, when you see the Lord's day being desecrated the way it is. And I include myself in that. We must even thinking about the Lord's day. Are we keeping the Lord's day as the Lord would have us do? You know, as Christians, we are to be an example to the world around about us. This people, as we noted, they weren't much of an example to their ungodly neighbours around about them. And may that not be so of us. May we have those testimonies. May we have that, not only a testimony, but that evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That we are that genuine article, that we are the genuine born-again believer which the world really needs to see. The Holy Spirit here, He is using this terminology, and it's by no mistake He's using it. And we ought to take heart as children of God this morning from this lesson, that even though at times, yes, our hearts are not where they ought to be, but yet the Lord permitted His people to go through this refining process. And so He permits us as His people to go through those times of difficulty and trial to refine us, to make us more like the Saviour, so that as the silversmith can see His face in the silver, so that the Lord can see us shining out of that the Lord can look upon us and see that there's nothing hindering or marring our fellowship, and that the ungodly world around about us would see us shining for Him and see the light of Christ shining out of our lives. Just as Moses
when he came down from the mountain after receiving the law, his face shone. And the people were afraid because they seen the glow from Moses' face for him being in the presence of the Lord. And you see, when we take that time, even there's a little lesson for prayer as well. When we take that time with the Lord in prayer, fellowshipping with him, communicating with him as friend with friend, then our faces, our testimony, our speech, our language, our outward appearance will definitely reflect the light and the glory of Christ in our lives. You see, here we've been thinking this morning about God's refinery. And lastly, I would like to think of you the purpose of refinement. The purpose of refinement. He says there in verse 10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Again, we've been thinking about the people of God having to be refined. And ultimately, we see here the purpose of that was to remove the dross. Just as a metal needs to have the impurities and the dross removed from it, so as Christians, we need to have the impurities. We need to have the sin cleansed from our hearts so that we would be that genuine article for the Lord. You see, this process was not an indefinite process. It had a starting point and it had a finishing point. Remember, as the silversmith, they want to see their face shining or their face reflected on the silver. And so, dear child of God, your trials, our difficulties and circumstances which we have to go through, they're not indefinite. It's not a trial which will start and never finish. It has a finishing point, doesn't it? You see, the Lord has his own appointed time and his appointed means for refining each and every one of us as believers here this morning. And you see, it was by an act of his own grace that he did not permit his people to go through this process unendlessly. He didn't destroy them. He simply used it to refine them, to wean them off the sins of the flesh, of the idolatry which they were engaging in, and to get their eyes fixed and focused upon him. You see, he reproved them to bring them back unto himself. And if we wander as Christians, if you're a backslider here this morning, you must come back to him, and he will draw you back unto himself, because he is married to the backslider. That's what his word tells us. And he wants us to be reproved so that we will be drawn closer to him. Oh, for grace to love the Saviour more. As the hymn writer says, "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain." Or as the other hymn writer says, "Draw me near, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side." You see, he reproved them to bring them back to himself, so that they would worship him aright, that they would worship him as he has directed us and desired of us in his word, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember, that's what the Saviour told to the woman at the well. He says that they must worship him in spirit and in truth. We've been thinking there about refinement and why the people of God have to be refined. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 1. I was thinking of the verse I got on my phone yesterday, 1 Peter 5 and 7. But it's 1 Peter 1 I want to read with you. I'm sure many of you can quote it verbatim, but it's good just to turn it up in the Bible and to read it afresh. 1 Peter 1 and the verse number 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There we have another reference to refinement. And we have another metal mentioned there, gold. And there we have the comparison between the Christian's faith and this precious metal of gold. And it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You see, dear child of God, this morning, your faith is far more precious than the gold in this world. And even though gold can be tried, it can be refined with fire. And that is how our faith is tried, by the fires of trials and afflictions. But what was the purpose of the trial of the Christian's faith? Notice here, Peter says that it might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that your life, so that my life, will bring glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when that time comes when he will appear, that he will be glorified. You see, the afflictions cause us to look up. They cause us, or they ought not to cause us to look around, but to look up to our Saviour for his help and strength to get us through the trial. You see, a tested faith is a genuine faith. A tested faith is a genuine faith because it has been through the difficulties. As Isaiah said, "Behold, I have redeemed thee. Behold, I have redeemed thee unto myself." He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And that the fire will not quench, the fire will not consume the Christian, because the fires of affliction, the furnace which we have to go through at times, again, is not meant for our destruction, but for our betterment, for our maturement, for us to mature as believers here today. And even as Paul wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews 2 and 10, he says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." I could even quote Job 23 and 10 to you this morning. And Job says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me." There's that thought of affliction and that work of refinement. "When he hath tried me," notice here these last words, he says, "I shall come forth as gold." I shall come forth as gold. And there we've been thinking in Peter and Job there about faith and about being tried and about gold and how we will come forth shining for him. Shining for him. The American preacher Vance Havner once told a story about an elderly lady who sadly was greatly disturbed by her many troubles, both real and imaginary. And then finally, this got to one of her relatives and her grandchildren, in fact, and they said to her, "Grandma, we've done all we can for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest." To which a look of despair came across that lady's face. And she replied to her grandchild, "Oh dear, has it come to that? Has it come to that? Is there nothing else I can do?" To which the preacher made this comment, Vance Havner, he said, "It always comes to that, so we might as well begin with that. And whatever trial or difficulty is used by the Lord to refine us, we can say that we trust God. I trust in God, whatever life may be. I trust in him because he knows the way that I take." I remember that song. It says, "I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountain peak or lawn, life's stormy sea. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me." You know, we thought this morning about God's refinery. And we thought about the people to be refined. We thought about the place of refinement. And we thought about the purpose of refinement. And you know, dear child of God, take heart this morning. As we need to be refined as the people of God, so that we would shine for him, and that Christ would be glorified in our lives in this day in which we live. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. Amen. Let us close our service this morning by singing the hymn, number 7, "To God be the glory, the great things he hath done." close our meeting in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy word, and we do pray, Lord, that you would take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And may it be a word to encourage those going through difficulties and trials at this time, O God, as we even consider, Lord, in Isaiah 53, how it records for us that, Lord, the Saviour was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our transgressions. And even, O God, how it pleased thee to bruise thy only begotten Son for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for our Saviour. We thank you for thy word this morning. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would write it upon each and every one of our hearts today. And Lord, we pray that you would take us now to your homes in safety, and part us now in thy fear and in thy favour, and bring us again to the house of God or to the drive-in service this evening. And Lord, may you be pleased to pour out thy Spirit and be with us this evening as well, we pray. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Time we get the mask off and the glasses on. We do bid you all a very warm welcome this morning to